Right, it's time to say, how you doing to the Gabby Cabby. Peter, how are you?
Don't be a wise guy and try and talk like me, because then you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do, the fast and be good at the Shamrock.
I love the Shamrock at the end. You know, yeah. Speaking of stereotypes and people's perception, the Mafia is a really serious organization. But, you know, I think people don't understand that, because apparently there's a local bakery store that you know of. It's been named as a Mafia headquarters, and it's not done business any harm.
Well, here's the funny thing. You know, the Mafia really doesn't exist in New York City the way that it used to be, you know, with no numbers, Munzio and things like that. As a matter of fact, people say to me, do you have Mafia in New York City? And I usually answer, no, they all went to work for the banks. Yuck, 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 yuck. So the fact of the matter is, when they announced that this particular bakery in Little Italy, which is a wondrous section of New York, if you like Italian food and Italian things, has a place where the few remaining Mafia people hang out, it did wonders for their business. Because now everybody is going. They want to see a Marlon Brando type or an Al Pacino type, you know, to go there. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, if I could only get the FBI to declare that my cab is a Mafia cab, boy, would my business be great.
Yeah, it would be, but perhaps short-lived.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm talking about it and making fun of them, and I'm here. You're over there safe. They don't know where you live.
Exactly. You know, I think we have a view, particularly from outside the areas affected, you know, this stereotypical view of the Mafia or of New York in general or what have you. And I don't think maybe, is it a case that people don't realize that the Mafia is quite a serious organization and it's not necessarily something you should be going to like a fly or a moth to a light bulb?
Yeah, well, but you see today, you know, the big businesses in white-collar crime, stock manipulation and embezzlements and real estate loans and everything. I mean, gone are the days when they would come around breaking kneecaps and all that type of thing. So it's a different thing. And as a matter of fact, in The Godfather, for those of you nice listeners who saw that movie, Al Pacino predicts, when he talks to his father, that he says, you know, someday we're going to be in legitimate businesses rather than all this knuckle-breaking thing and everything. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, it's done wonders for this bakery's business.
Now, there's a bit of a change, actually, for cab drivers like yourself, because there's no compulsion now to speak English. How's that going to work?
Yeah, well, you see, now, not one of your listeners is going to believe my story now. They're going to all call you up right after you go off the air, and they're going to say, why do you have that liar Peter on the, you know, the phone? Because the story couldn't possibly be true. But it is. Cross my heart. Okay, for a long time, the city has basically ignored the responsibility and the law, let's say, that if you're a New York City cab driver, you have to speak English. And there have been many, many cab drivers in New York City who really don't speak English at all, or maybe not too well. And as a matter of fact, one of the gags that people have made about me is that I'm the last English-speaking cab driver. Well, this week, our dopey mayor, you don't mind if I call him a dopey mayor?
He's your mayor. You can call him what you like.
Right. Decided that it's silly to go through the pretense of saying that people have to speak English. He actually made it legal now for a cab driver not to speak English, which is absolutely insane. I mean, just think, you now have flown over from Ireland, you get off the plane at Kennedy Airport, you get into the cab, and you tell me, you know, you might as well talk to me in Gaelic. I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
It doesn't seem to make
confusion.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make sense from a tourism perspective. And how does that work then with the exams that you have to sit? I presume primarily it's in English. Does that mean they have to provide exams in the native tongue of whomever is sitting the test?
Exactly. And this is all part of being political correct, because he's a very political correct, the mayor I'm talking about, and he's worried that some guy from Indonesia or the Philippines or India is going to be offended because he's being asked to speak English. And as I say, it's absolutely crazy. Now, you're going to say, how do you get to your destination? Well, if you said to the foreign-speaking New York City cab driver, take you to Times Square, he'll understand that probably. But if you ask him any other question, like, what's a good bakery for me to go to in Little Italy, he's not going to be able to answer the question.
But it's going to create more problems, because I imagine then what you're going to have is you're going to have people being selective it's almost going to force issues because people are going to be selective into what cabs they get into, perhaps, and then maybe it could cause some division, you know, people saying that there might be racial undertones there or what have you. I think it's potential to create more problems than it fixes.
Yeah, well, but remember, you might have a few Looney Tune politicians over there also, and that's what we have. I mean, it's just crazy. It's not going
to
work
out. I'm trying to remember now how many...
present a problem.
I'm trying to figure exactly how many are in the doll.
Right. I mean, for instance, when you get off the plane in Kennedy or LaGuardia or, you know, Newark Airport, those are our three major airports, there's a taxi line, or I guess you'd call it a taxi rank, and you walk over, and the guy's going to put you into the cab, and you're going to see this guy, and you're going to realize he can't speak English, and you're going to say, no, I don't want to get in this cab, I'll get in the next cab. So now what do you do with the cab that you that's in line that you just refuse to get into? No, you're right. As a matter of fact, that was very astute of you to figure that out. Have you ever thought of being a broadcaster?
I give it some consideration. I've applied for a few jobs with no success. You mentioned politics there. Do your politicians get 3 months summer holidays?
No. That's something that surprises you foreigners. The average holiday, which we're in the holiday season now, is about 2 weeks. And I know that sounds strange from people at your side of the pond, but that's the way it is here. Right now, everybody is on holiday if they can, because our temperatures are just off the wall. Today, it's going to be 92. Mm. Now, you translate that into your funny numbers.
I can't.
And you'll know how hot that is.
It sounds hot.
And it is very hot. And remember, it's very humid. But in a way, you can't really complain about it because New York is such a modern city. Everybody has air conditioning.
Yeah.
And that brings another problem because if you walk around the streets here at night when it's comparatively quiet, all that you hear, and here comes my imitation of air conditioners, is so if you want to be cool, you're going to be cool, but you're also going to probably go slightly deaf.
Yes. Talking about politics, it's really hotting up now in the presidential race. Donald Trump's still in there. Hillary Clinton, I think it's more a case for a lot of people that I've been speaking to. It's who is the better of two evils, who would do least damage. Trump's holding his own still there, though, isn't he? He's got enough support to make it an interesting contest.
Yeah, well, it is. And, I mean, as I say to many of my friends around the world, that I have to apologize to you all because they're two terrible people. I mean, it has nothing to do with politics. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. She's about 3 inches away from going to jail because of her shenanigans with the Clinton Foundation and making people pay money. Trump constantly gets in trouble. As a matter of fact, I can give you some late breaking news, which we just heard about 5 minutes ago, is he hired a new campaign manager. And the news is already out that his campaign manager said at one time to his wife, I don't want my daughters going to that school, whatever school it was, because there's too many Jews there.
Mm. Is it a calamity, James?
Yeah, now you can't necessarily say, I mean, and Trump has a couple of Jewish children, so it's hard to say that he's anti-Semitic, but that's how dirty the campaign has gotten. They're also talking now that Hillary is not feeling well. You know, she has some kind of health issue. So everything but the economy and peace and mankind is being discussed.
It's just such an amazing... Sorry, Peter. It's just such an amazing country with so, so many people there. And I just find it hard to believe that you could whittle it down to those two.
Well, but it is. And it is an unfortunate thing because it's going to have a direct effect on you nice folks. Because remember, who's ever the president of the United States, you know, he has his finger into Ireland, too, because of a lot of things. So I'm sorry, and I apologize.
No, I think Clinton would be better for Ireland. I think if Trump follows through, it could, you know, we have a lot of foreign direct investment here, American companies living in Ireland, and I think Trump really would try and do something about that to either hit them in the pocket to get them home or shame them into coming back. So I think the consequences for us under Trump, for more than one reason, obviously, would be quite severe. Talking about people making money. Beach is very popular, of course. I mean, our beaches are popular, but it's a different, on a different scale over with you guys. And some intelligent fellow's come up with a new idea, hasn't he?
You know, now, wait a minute. I've been in Ireland a number of times. Where are your beaches?
Donegal is a beach.
Are you going to the beach today?
You obviously are familiar with the weather.
Yeah, well, of course. And I mean, that's why you're such a beautiful green country, because it was always raining whenever I was there.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you can't just compare. For instance, let's take Coney Island, which is a very famous beach here in New York City. Right now, it's in the wee hours of the morning, so the day is just starting. And, of course, it's a Saturday. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a million, yes, a million people on that beach today. And that's just one beach. So now you and I are there with our families, and we got our blankets and our towels out, and we're laying in the sun, and we're going swimming. And then we decide, gee, I'm hungry. And if we weren't smart enough to bring our own food, that means we got to walk all the way back to the boardwalk through a million people. Do you know what the chances are of us getting lost and never finding our way?
A million
back?
To one. A million to one for me.
You're going to walk away from your family and you're going to say, see you later.
Yeah, but you don't want to leave.
And they really mean later.
Yeah, and you don't want, and even if you have something of a sense of direction, you don't want to leave your personal belongings behind you, or it's not practical. But this guy's, he's come up with a solution.
Absolutely. He's come up with an app. Everybody has an app that, with using the GPS, you can call him and tell him you'd like to have some hot dogs and some Diet Coke and what have you. And by using the GPS, he'll know exactly where you are. And it's kind of interesting that nobody thought of it. You know, every once in a while you run into these ideas where you say, gee, why didn't I think of that?
I think some of the some of the big sports stadiums have something similar to that, don't they? I know they're all connected, but this is outside. This is completely different. And he's going to make him
independent, you know, an independent entrepreneur. But I have a feeling that last week, where there may have been two of these guys at Coney Island, today there's going to probably be 300 of them.
Yeah, well, I suppose you can't patent it. But anyway, listen, Peter, it's always a pleasure. I can't wait to chat to you again. Thank you so much for talking to us so early in the morning where you are, mid-morning for us. Thank you very, very much indeed.
I wonder what you look like in a bathing suit.
Well, I look pretty good. A mankini's my preferred choice. covers the essential pieces.
Pasty white Irish.
I look like a milk bottle in a rubber glove is how I would look.
Everybody have a wonderful day. I'll be at the beach.
All right, Peter, keep your clothes on. Good man. Thank you very much. That's Peter the Gabby Cabby. Always a pleasure to speak to him live from the Big Apple in New York.